Take your Bibles this morning, turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Last Sunday, we started a series on this chapter. We did the first couple of verses there, talking about the subject of faith in a general way. Now, according to normal schedule, the next thing that we would talk about was the first of the heroes of faith, namely the man Abel. However, because it's Father's Day this week, I want to skip over number 2 and go to number 3, the man whose name is Enoch. Next week, the Lord willing, we'll go back and we'll reverse the order again and we'll take a look at number 2, the man who is Abel. Hebrews chapter 11, 1 through 5. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it people of old received their commendation. The faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. The story of Enoch is one of the amazing stories in the Old Testament, because it tells us about a man who was living in a very difficult period. It was a time in history when the world was in a very tragic spiritual condition. And it wasn't going to get any better. Enoch would be there, of course, followed by Methuselah. And during that part of the time period also, the man Noah would come on the scene. And God would begin to prepare the world for the coming worldwide flood, as he would bring his judgment upon the world because of the great evil that was there. The Bible says that as God looked down from heaven and saw what was happening in the world, he saw that the intentions of men's hearts were only evil continually. Can you imagine that? There was nothing but evil going on all around except for a few dedicated followers of the Lord. Now Enoch, the father of the man Methuselah, lived in this same period. And while others were following the wrong way, he was following a different path. I want to notice with you 4 things about his life today. First of all, the amazing witness that he obtained. You know, when you go through the Bible and you look at some of the characters that are mentioned in the Bible, certain ones are declared to be very special to God. We read, for example, about a man by the name of Cornelius. What did God say about him in his word? Well, the Bible says Cornelius was a devout man who feared God with all his household and gave many alms and prayed to God constantly. Isn't that amazing? If somebody were writing your life story, to have just those few lines written about you, but look at what they say. They are fantastic. Well, it wasn't just men who got high praise either. There was, of course, people like the lady named Dorcas. Dorcas was a woman who was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. She was one of the ladies in the New Testament church that even though as the years passed in her life, she continued doing things for others, constantly letting her light shine, even through various works of charity. We know, too, from the Old Testament there was one of the favorite characters of the Bible there that I have, and that's the man Caleb. And the Bible repeats about him one phrase, not just once, but at least 4 times that I know of. And regarding Caleb, it says concerning his life that he was a man who followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Boy, you talk about a short little testimony that really says everything. Wholeheartedly, no half-hearted commitment to the Lord. He was a wholehearted follower of the Lord. Well, those were 3 characters in the Bible and what God said about them. But you know, there's another man in the Bible that God said something about, and that's Enoch. And we see it right here in our scripture reading. Enoch had a powerful witness made by God concerning him. Before God took him from this world, without dying, I want you to understand that, before he was taken directly to heaven without passing through the valley of the shadow of death, before that happened, God commended him and declared that he was well-pleasing to him, that he walked with God. Now, you know, it wasn't always that way in his life. As we read the whole story about his life, we find out that the first 65 years of his life, we do not read that he was a man who walked with God. There was a time when he was maybe not living for the Lord like he did later in his life. But at age 65, something happened very amazing. He became a father. And for the next 300 years of his life, there's just one testimony about him, that Enoch was a man that for 300 years he walked with God. He was so well pleasing to God that one day God, while they were walking together and communing and fellowshipping together as always, God decided to just take him on home to heaven. And off he went, just like that. We're going to talk about why that is significant in just a few moments, but just think about that. 300 years of consistent, sustained walking with God. It's amazing to see a life like that. And for 300 years, Enoch, during that time period, just before that, he became the father of a man by the name of Methuselah. Methuselah is an interesting character too, because Methuselah is believed to be the oldest man that ever lived. If not the oldest man that ever lived, at least the oldest man that is mentioned in the Bible. He lived 969 years. You say, wow, how come so long? What was so unique about him? Because though the days of his father Enoch were days of corruption, and the corruption would continue even in the life of Methuselah and the time of Noah and so forth, while all of this was happening, and while God was preparing to bring a worldwide flood on the whole world, this man, Methuselah, was a sign that God was going to show mercy and grace in all that he was doing. You see, the name Methuselah means something very special. It means when he dies, it will be sent. What will be sent? The flood. How long did God wait before he brought judgment down on the earth in this terrible time? 969 years. You say, why did God wait that long? Because God is merciful. God is long-suffering. God is wanting to show his loving kindness to us, his faithfulness to us always. And somehow it must have been revealed to Enoch at the time of his son's birth that this boy, Methuselah, was going to be very special too. And so Enoch gave to him the name Methuselah. When he dies, it will be sent. Methuselah probably didn't know when that death would occur, but he did know one thing, that his son was the sign that as long as Methuselah was there, the great judgment of God would not come upon the earth. These two people must have had an amazing life together as they, you know, learned about the Lord. And as Enoch, of course, walked with the Lord patiently and faithfully. Walking with the Lord, by the way, means that we are seeking to do God's will. You think God has any pleasure walking with people who want to go their own direction and live their own life and follow their own way? Of course not. It doesn't mean that God does not bring the judgment upon them that he deserves to bring. God, even in his disfavor of how people are living, may show great grace and great kindness and great love. But you see, when God notices someone who is living in a very special way, that is walking close with the Lord, that was a very precious thing. The Bible says in the book of Amos chapter 3, can two people walk together except they be agreed? That's the old King James version of that text. It's a good thought. You like to walk with people who you are in constant disagreement with? You say, no, I like to walk together with friends. Well, Enoch was a friend of God. He walked with God. He was in close, vital fellowship with the Lord. And so he had a witness that he was this man. He also had a sustained walk that demonstrated this to not only his family, but to the entire world. They knew that there was something unique about this man. But also, during this time period, he also preached the Word of God. Now, I want you to think about something here. Enoch never had a Bible. There were no Bibles available then. How did he know about God and about the things of the Lord? By way of direct revelation from God himself. There was such a close fellowship there that he not only knew all about the Lord, but he even knew what the Lord was going to do in the days to come. He knew that as long as his son Methuselah was alive, that God was still going to show mercy and grace. But he also knew that God was a God of mercy, but a God of judgment as well. And we need to keep those things constantly in balance when we look at the scriptures. He preached the whole message. He told everything that he knew. The book of Jude in the New Testament declares that he was that kind of a person who faithfully made known the gospel of the Lord. The Bible says, woe to those who call the evil good and who call the good evil. People may live lives that are totally against God, and they might call good evil and just the other way around, say that which is good is evil and what is evil is good. They may go against God in every way, and God may be very tolerant and very merciful for a long time. But you know, the time will come when God says, it's going to happen. His judgment will come upon them, and it's something that we need to keep in mind. We who are called Christians, especially if we are in a position of responsibility in our families, having children and grandchildren and helping to raise them and develop them, we need to be walking in the light. We need to be following that which is good. We need to be walking with God so that our lives are not displeasing to him, but are well-pleasing to him. And so much so that God is not only pleased with him, but God will make that pleasure known and even show a certain favor, as he did in the life of Enoch, that had never been seen before by anyone. Well, what was it? There were three great privileges that happened in the life of Enoch. Number one, he had the privilege of being able to walk with the Lord for 300 years. You know, sometimes when I look at the life of the disciples, I think, boy, that must have been amazing to be one of Jesus' earthly disciples. And to have walked with him for 3 years and heard him teach and heard him explain things and saw his miracles and heard about the great things that he did. But here was a man that walked with the Lord for 300 years. That's no small privilege. Although I remind you, you and I have the opportunity to walk with him every day. Enoch never had a Bible. We have Bibles. We can read all about God and what God has to say to us. Enoch was one who could commune with God face to face and talk with him. And for 300 years, that was his great privilege. And you know, everyone who's here who knows the Lord Jesus Christ today has that same privilege to be walking with God. Why do we want to walk with the world? Why do we want to follow the world's way all the time? When in reality, the world can offer us nothing in the end. It's only when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word and the glory he sheds on our way, while we do his good will, we abide with him still and with all who will trust and obey. That's the kind of life that God is pleased with. We sing songs like that in our hymn books, but they're talking about the same thing, about walking with the Lord in a life of fellowship. How amazing that's going to be. We say, oh, it's going to be so great someday when we get to heaven. Well, you know what? Why not start walking with the Lord closely now? Why wait till you get to heaven to become good friends on a daily basis with the Lord? Walk with him day by day, as this man Enoch did. Second great privilege he had not only was the ability to walk with the Lord for 300 years of fellowship, but also he lived in readiness so that whenever God said it's time now to pass on from this world, he was ready. He didn't have to worry about when the day of his death would be. He didn't know that God was going to let him bypass death. As far as he knew, he was going to be just like anybody else that had ever lived. Live out your life and then you die. A lot of people know these things are coming and they worry about it and they're afraid and they think, what will happen then? Will I be ready to meet the Lord? Enoch didn't have to wonder about that. He knew not only fellowship with God, but he knew that whenever God said, now's the time, it's time for you to come home, he was ready. And you know, I want everybody that's here today too to have that same opportunity to know the Lord personally, to be in fellowship with him, but also to be able to say that whenever God says, now's the time, are you ready? Are you ready to leave? Are you ready to go? Enoch was ready. I'll tell you, that's a remarkable life right there. But number three, he had the opportunity to become the sign of something that was going to happen in the distant future. And he was going to be the first one for whom it ever happened. And his testimony of his life and what God did to him would be a sign for generation after generation after generation to come of what God is going to do in the future. He first made this event possible and known through the life of this man, Enoch. What am I talking about? The rapture. The rapture. You know, whenever God is going to do something amazing, he doesn't just do it. A lot of times he gets people ready for what he's going to do. When he's going to bring his son into the world, who's going to be conceived in a virgin's womb without the natural birth process, but she will be conceiving a son as a virgin. When God is going to do that, what does he do first of all? He gets people ready for that event by allowing some godly women throughout history to have remarkable births. Look at Sarah. Sarah became pregnant long after she was at the point when women couldn't do that anymore. And yet God worked a miracle in Sarah's life, reminding her that through her son, God was going to bring his covenant promises to the world. We know too that there was a woman who had prayed for many years, a woman, Hannah. And she had prayed that God would give her a son. In Israel, not to have a son was considered a very sad thing because the son carried on the family inheritance and the family name and everything else. And how she cried for that son and prayed and prayed and prayed. And one day God said, all right, now's the time. I'm going to raise up a son through Hannah. And he raised up Samuel, one of the mighty men of God of the Old Testament. One of the greatest men that ever lived in Bible history. This Samuel was a great teacher of the Word of God and not only blessed Israel as a whole, but also blessed many other people who went on to become teachers and preachers of the Word of God as well. He had a school of the prophets where he taught others about the Word of God, even as he knew it himself. You see, God, though, all this was getting ready for what? The big thing. The birth of the greatest preacher, the greatest teacher of all, the one who was going to be born not just miraculously, but who was going to be born supernaturally in the sense that he would be conceived in a virgin's womb. God was getting the world ready for that. Well, let me tell you something. One day, God is going to do something in this world that is going to be astounding. There is going to be a time when Jesus Christ is going to come and he's going to take his own to be with him. Some of the people that will go to be with the Lord then will already have died. The Bible tells us that. And when Christ comes to claim his own at the rapture, what will happen? The Bible says the dead in Christ will rise first and they will be caught up to meet him in the air. A lot of people say, well, you don't really believe that stuff, do you? Yes, I do. Remember, God's batting average is still 1,000 yet. Everything he says that he'll do, he does. He fulfills it. Never fails. But you know, the Bible says something else. There are some people who are going to be caught up in the air to meet the Lord when he comes back who are not even going to die. They're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know, people go through all kinds of changes in their bodies. Maybe they're sick and they go to the hospital and they work on them sometimes for, for not only days, but for weeks and for months and sometimes for years as they do everything they can to physically bring some good changes into that person's life. But can you imagine somebody having a body like ours, a normal earthly body, all of a sudden being able to be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, that quick, faster than you can blink your eye? That bodies will be changed and we will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. You say, well, do you really think that could happen? Well, God says, not only can it happen, but I'll get people ready for it. First of all, I'll take my man Enoch. And one day while I was walking with Enoch, it was just decided now's the time. Come on, Enoch, it's time to go home. And the Lord took him. The Bible didn't say the Lord took him through death. It's obvious from the Hebrew text here that God literally took him or snatched him up. He was taken to be directly with God. He was not found anywhere. People could spend hundreds or even thousands of years trying to find the bones of old Enoch down here on earth, but he wasn't there because God took him home. And that was the first time God did this. Another time would come. A great prophet of the Lord, Enoch, who we talked about in previous studies here at this church. What did God do with him when it was finally time for him to go home? God decided that he too would be caught up to meet the Lord, this time through a fiery chariot taken up right into heaven to meet the Lord. And you say, well, yeah, but how do we know that, you know, he really didn't fall out or he really didn't die and his body was somewhere else? Well, you know what? Many, many hundreds of years later, that same man appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was very much alive. And he was there in his glorious appearance. That's the second time God did the same witness in history. And now there is coming a third great time in history, the ultimate one when God is going to call his faithful home to himself. People say, well, I wonder when that's going to be. Well, you're not going to know till it happens. God says, I'm not going to make that known. The Bible says that it's going to come in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to come suddenly, quickly. There's no way that people can know the exact time. People have very foolishly tried to figure out in advance when the time of the rapture and the events surrounding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've tried to figure all that out and tried to write books about it and make newspaper predictions about it and try to, have all of this on television. Somebody came out with another prediction. Oh, we know this is going to happen then. All that does is cause people to doubt that it could ever happen in the first place. But you know what? God told us it will happen, and God said it, and God already gave us two witnesses. Remember, according to Scripture, the Bible says that every testimony of God is confirmed by two or three witnesses. God's already given us two witnesses. Enoch, he's already given us Elijah. And witness number three is going to confirm the whole story. The day will come when the trumpet will sound and the Lord shall descend and the voice of the archangel will be heard and the trumpet of God and the dead in Christ will rise first, but we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord to meet the Lord in the air. And we know all of this is true because a man who was a godly father many, many centuries ago was one who lived in such close fellowship with the Lord that God used that man, that godly man, to be a testimony of the great thing that he's going to do for all believers in the future. What a story. What a story. And so the important thing is, are we ready whenever the Lord calls us home? For many of us, that may come through death and our souls passing directly into heaven and eventually our earthly bodies being made renewed again at the time of the rapture. And then body and soul, we will spend eternity with God. For others, they will be alive when Jesus comes back and their bodies will be changed in a moment and they'll be taken directly to be with God. But either way, it's going to happen. God says he is going to come for his own. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and I will receive you to myself. That where I am, there you also will be. Wow. Well, dads, are you ready? Oh, yeah. Moms, are you ready too? Grandparents, young men, old men, are you ready to meet the Lord? It's going to happen. And I wouldn't dare try to set any dates here or make any wild predictions. All I know is that there are two things that definitely are signs that will happen before he comes again. One is that the nation of Israel will be back in the land again as a nation. After being hundreds of years out of existence, God said that after hundreds of years, Israel would come back in the land again. Every time you read about Israel and what's going on over there, remember, that's another sign that God said, I'm going to come again when that has taken place, when Israel is back in her land. I will come again. My feet will literally touch down on the very Mount of Olives. It's all predicted. That's one thing that we know is going to happen. But the other thing is simply this. We don't know the exact day or the exact hour. But we do know, the Bible says, do not be discouraged, because it says that though the closer it comes to that time, things will become very difficult on the earth. They'll be very hard for people to be a Christian and live for the Lord. It'll be very challenging to be faithful to God. But he said, in the hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes. He's coming. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be great when one day we are caught up together in the air. You know, sometimes I've watched these guys on television who have these jetpacks. I'm quite amazed by that. You know, we've had books about Superman and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, you see somebody come along and strap a jetpack on the back of some man, and to see this guy literally flying around. Now, just ask yourself this question. If a human being can make it possible for another human being to literally fly around with a jetpack strapped on their back, don't you think that God can make it possible for you to be caught up in the air to meet him, just like he said? If man can do that, what can God do? And you know, he will do it. And so the important thing is what? Always be ready. Enoch was ready. Enoch walked with God. And Jesus has promised in the book of Revelation, this is what he said about the future. He says that all those who are ready to meet him, they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. You want God to say you're worthy? You want God to walk with you just like he did with Enoch? You want him to walk with you in white, robes of white, in all of your glory? You want that to be your future too? Jesus says it will be your future. If what? If you are found as those who know him and who are ready for him. He will declare them worthy, and they will walk with him forever. Let's pray to God now. Our Father in heaven, we come to you now, and as we conclude today, I just pray that in all of our hearts, in some way, you will make these things very real to us, because they are real. There are things, as we have already learned from our last lesson, that though they might seem impossible, yet they are not impossible, because they are things that you do. We might look at the world and say it's impossible that God could create the world out of nothing. And yet, look what you have done and how you have done such an amazing thing in putting it all together. And you know, we know that everything else regarding the future and the world to come as well is going to happen just the way you said. So Lord, give us faith, give us courage, give us strength for the facing of this hour. give us readiness to meet Jesus Christ when he comes. And I pray this now in his holy name. Amen.